Harvey Weinstein has been cleared of rape.
That's not true.
Yeah, he's been cleared of rape. He's an innocent man.
No, he hasn't.
He's been cleared of one rape due to procedural misconduct.
Yeah.
But listen, if there's any way to be proven innocent, it's procedural misconduct. Welcome to yet another episode of the Three Speech Podcast. I'm a mad lad at Jihad. Today, I'm joined by Fatty. He's all the way back from his
holiday. Why are you being rude? Again.
I've told you not to interrupt while I'm doing the introduction.
I told you to stop calling me Fatty.
I didn't call you. You've lost weight.
Oh, thank you.
Still fat, but anyway. With Ollie, Ollie's here. And listen, we were told when Rick was last a guest on this podcast, one of the comments said, this is by far the most reasonable, articulate person you've ever had on the pod. Please don't have him back. We've ignored that advice.
Fuck you!
He's back. He's going to come with his cuck liberal views, and that's absolutely fine. Anyway, listen, couple, before we start, a little bit of an apology. I know there's been a hiatus in the podcast for the last few weeks. There are mitigating reasons, and these are them. Basically, I think it was about 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago now, I booked in the studio in London. I'd arranged for everyone. The OG cast, we're all going to go in. It was all good to go. Then Mooch got kicked out of the venue in Vauxhall, and they sequestered all his equipment, so we literally couldn't record that day. Then I've been on holiday, I've been back, so here we are. Now we're recording. Basically, Mooch has got a new studio now, so hopefully we'll be able to record a few more episodes, and Mooch will be able to come on as well. So that's what's been happening, but that was the hiatus, so apologies for that.
And set the context that we're now in Edinburgh.
We're now in Edinburgh recording from the Hoots studio. So thanks, Rick, for putting us up.
Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, and it is what it is. But there's in the interim, been a lot of stuff is happening. But breaking news, Harvey Weinstein has been cleared of rape.
That's not true.
Yeah, he's been cleared of rape. He's an innocent man.
No, he hasn't.
He's been cleared of one rape due to procedural misconduct.
Yeah.
But listen, if there's any way to be proven innocent, it's procedural misconduct.
Right? It's very much the glove doesn't fit.
Yeah. If the procedural misconduct doesn't fit, they must have quit. Unfortunately for him, the procedure was correct on all the other rapes. So he's still in prison as a rapist. But
he should have a fair trial. Because basically what happened
was... What's the point?
Well,
I don't even know why he's fighting. It's like, listen, you've got about 10 other rapes to clear your name with and find that... Find the procedural misconduct from.
Well, I don't know.
What was the misconduct?
I mean, I obviously I've skim read this breaking news.
I haven't skim read it. I've got the BBC article here as
Ollie Ali, the resident legal expert for all the people in comedy. So this is what we're going to talk about. Wait, before we go on, these are the topics for today's podcast, which I think are going to be interesting. Harvey Weinstein, innocent man. Lawrence Fox had been forced to pay £180,000 in damages for libel for calling people nonces online. Fair enough. Joe Lycett has been talking about cancel culture. I think three comedians are going to discuss that. And I watched Baby Reindeer, the Netflix number one trending show worldwide. I'm going to give my opinion on that. You must know Richard Gere.
Yeah, no.
So
yes,
good. Yeah. I need to discuss that.
Plus, one more. I texted you yesterday saying, shall we have lamb Sunday? And you said, yes, we can discuss it on the pod.
Also, Ollie is going to be cooking lamb on Sunday. We'll discuss that as well.
Good. That's a good episode.
It's a good. It's a riveting episode. So now back to...
Also,
OJ Simpson died. That was sad. In the interim period, he died.
The last episode we did was...
You're not going to remark on OJ Simpson's untimely demise? He took the vaccine. That's what you get.
Yeah, he was shot twice. someone else. There's an amazing documentary about OJ.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's what he signified as genuinely a cultural icon, like where he came from. Like, and it's about 8 hours long. It was a BBC thing 3 years ago, and it's like OJ to us just means
orange juice.
Like, yes. OJ to us.
I made a joke.
It was a little joke.
Yeah. A little joke.
OJ to us, like, is just that crime, but what he did, what he signified in America.
Crime.
What was that?
That alleged crime.
I think I can say. I think I can say he did it now. He's
no,
dead.
You can't. He did. He's innocent.
He's dead though.
God, why do you not? Man, I don't understand.
This is toxic.
This is, well, why do you talk? You're like, oh, Western liberal democracy, you obey the law. The man was proven innocent by a court of law, as was Harvey Weinstein. And now you lot are just denying it. Yeah. He's innocent.
Yes.
He was innocent, yeah. Right? Was he, Ollie?
He was found innocent, but he was still guilty.
Yeah, he was found innocent.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that
it means
the court didn't
prosecute. He got away with it. Like, I mean, being...
The glove doesn't fit.
You must acquit.
You must. The last episode we did was a postcard from Hong Kong. The comments did include, I only tune in for the recipes. I had salt and pepper chips and Mongolian beef and reevaluated my stance on Chinese food, neither of which are Chinese food. Yeah, that's why. Justin calling in from 2003. I'm not sure if that's his broadband or his views. Well, is he gay? And then that's got a number of other comments. One saying no, one saying everyone's gay.
Who? About who, though? About well, you?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, about Ollie. Are you gay?
Everyone's gay.
Everyone's gay.
and then all the rest of the comments are just about me being gay. Let's go back to this Weinstein thing.
Yeah.
Basically, the trial happened at a time when, like, it was obviously very politically charged. Like, there was a lot of attention on this because it was a flagship moment for the Me Too movement. And basically, one of the principles of criminal justice is you can only be tried on the facts of your case. Mm-hmm. So, like, for example, if you've done... It's rare, for example, for crimes in the past to be allowed to be admissible evidence for a jury. So let's say, like, I've been... simple example, you've been accused of shoplifting, right? It shouldn't be relevant that you've shoplifted before. Because that can sway a jury.
What
was
the same crime? I mean, surely serial killing.
Yeah, obviously there are exceptions, right? But generally speaking, you've got to try on like the facts of the case in front of you, which is why, why it's really dangerous to have juries be aware of these high-profile cases because they make character judgments, right?
Which is what's happening right now at Donald Trump.
Yeah, the Trump thing. What do you make of the Trump thing?
Which thing? There's loads of things.
The jury selection.
Oh yeah. Well, impossible. It genuinely is impossible, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wonder whether, like, you know, this is something which the legal system's not even thought about because it's a very recent phenomenon that everyone in the country can know someone, mm-hmm. right? That's only like a last 30-year problem. And like our system of juries, I mean, jury trials tend to be there's a lot less of them these days as well. Like loads of different things.
But the Trump's thing is a Biden overreach, just trying to. It is a witch hunt.
Well, I think it's legit. I mean, there's obviously... I mean, you cannot tell me that Donald J. Trump...
Listen, if you're going to start prosecuting ex-presidents, yeah? Every single president should be up for war crimes. Every single one of them.
But war crimes aren't... But war crimes are not in breach of American law.
Yeah.
There's
there
no
go.
American law.
Then that is what you need to know about America. War crimes are not in breach of American
law.
But
they're
hush money to a, but hush money to a prostitute is. So... Yeah. You're allowed to kill kids, drone strike them on a beach as much as you want. That's fine.
It's not
but don't
fine.
Even think about.
It's not fine.
According to Ollie and the liberal cucks, but don't even think about. Don't even think about paying off a prostitute because you know you wanted to.
So what do you think? So is your argument that a president can just do anything?
My argument is this sets a what people don't understand is sets a dangerous precedent when you start going after ex. Listen, I'm awful. I think all presidents should be. They should be tried for crime. They should. But right now, Biden should be tried for sending arms to Israel. Netanyahu should be tried for flipping bombing Rafah. They should tried.
Right, so I think there's a difference.
And Rishi Sunak.
There is a difference.
Do not come into this debate with any kind of nuance.
Yeah.
That will not be helpful.
Listen, don't do anything that disagrees with my already preordained narrative in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've got my
You've got to pick your side and stick to it.
Yeah,
yeah. No, there is a difference between, you know, what happens, there are things that are done as countries that I don't think are right, but you could, there are things that are not prosecutable for. The thing that Trump's being done for is before he was president.
Yeah, but I think...
You can't just get presidential immunity. Otherwise, anyone that's, like, done anything really bad will just try and become president.
Well, I look forward to when Donald Trump is the president in November and he tries Biden for all his... insider dealings before he was president in Ukraine with him.
Well, that's fine. That's consistent.
No, but that's the point. The thing is, if you start doing this, what people don't realize is if you were everything they
this
use.
This wasn't started by Biden.
Who was it started by?
I presume just the state prosecutors.
State prosecutors. Yeah, you're falling into is the narrative that Trump has spread.
But also, Biden's too old to do any of this. He's
listen. I just saw a video of Biden saying, "Of man." how you could, Biden is just a hopeless case. There's a video of him online now, and he went something like, 4 more years, pause. He read it off the thing, like,
oh,
he's
man.
Stealing Anchorman's gimmick. He literally went, 4 more years, pause. Like that. And it's like, this is your president, the ruling world. Look, the point is, I'm not here to like go back and forth on Trump, but what they're doing now to Trump will be done against the Democrats as well.
Yeah, but the point is, right, a president should be somewhat protected from personal consequences for their decisions. This is actually a good analogy to think through this problem is, how much do we want the police to be protected for if they were, for example, to kill somebody, right? Like, there's two sides to this argument. You've got to pick somewhere in the middle. Either you say, if a police is doing something in the line of duty, then they're immune, right, from any kind of prosecution. Another way of looking at it is to say, even though they're police, if they do something which would otherwise be criminal, so, you know, and that's why you have all these John Charles de Menezes or whatever his name was, people where, like, the police is kind of... stops being protected by the fact that they were police in the line of duty. And I think everyone's got a position on, well, we don't want to discourage people from being police.
But what is Biden's crime? What are they accusing him of doing? What are they saying that he denied paying this hush money to...
Do you mean Trump?
Yes, Trump. Yeah, what is his...
Well, I think it's to do... I don't know the details. It's financial crime.
It's basically, he slept with her before the...
And they weren't married.
Before the election. He used the money from the campaign to pay her off, and then that was done by
a lawyer, right?
That was a lawyer. Is it Comey?
It was one of the dodgy ones.
Yeah, and
who's a proven liar? That lawyer, by the way,
for doing the thing. He went to jail for the thing.
But he's a proven liar under oath. He's lied in court.
But you don't normally mind liars.
No, I don't mind. I'm saying he's a terrible witness. Terrible character.
Darius's approach to debate is... I've only recently remembered this. You know, there's that scene from Alan Partridge where Alan is panicking about something and he says to Sonia, this can't happen. I'll go to jail, right? And then Sonia goes, but Alan, you say that prison is like holiday camp with PlayStations. And he goes, no, I was making a different point. And that's basically, that's Darius's approach to debate.
No, my approach to debate is win at all costs. Go on, Amy,
that's the thing. The difference between, I'm quite happy to explore a topic. What you want to do is win. I don't know what we're discussing.
We're supposed to be discussing
Weinstein. And I've got an interesting anecdote about this. So, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Sounds like you've got a Netflix special coming up.
No, we'll talk about that. Darius watched it last night and I was too tired to watch it, so I've got nothing to say on it. Anyway, so the Weinstein thing was procedural, where basically the jury heard like character background stuff, unsubstantiated allegations, which obviously paints this sexual assaulter in quite a bad light. Mm-hmm. And so that is the issue that
Can I just say,
yeah,
procedural is the way forward. I almost got fired from my job once for allegedly committing an in-job crime when I was working for Transport for London.
What were you accused of?
I was accused of selling freedom passes that were being sent into the offices. I was accused of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether or not I did it.
Did you?
Can't say. However, wait a minute. Obviously, I did it.
Yeah.
However, when they wrote up the crime, the people, they wrote it up wrong. So the union was like, listen, you didn't underline this shit. Innocent of all charges. And that's how you get away with it. I'm not going with it. That's how an innocent man walks free.
I mean, getting off on a technicality is probably the best way to get off.
Yeah, it's like winning a game with an own goal. Like, it's like winning a football game with an own goal kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
I got I didn't get caught speeding because I deny I did.
Yeah.
M5, going back from a gig, it was like 11:30 at night, and it's a temp. It's got roadworks, 50 kilometer limit.
Miles per hour.
Why am I saying kilometer? That's woke.
Yeah, it is woke, actually.
gay. We'll get comments about that. Ollie's confirmed gay, uses kilometres. Anyway, so you log into like the Avon and Somerset Constabulary website, and it's got the collaboration certificates. There are not any certificates there. So I'm wondering whether I don't just take the speed awareness course and try my luck and go, well...
I got 3 points for driving from Edinburgh to London. Some little shithead policeman on the bridge with his
He did it because he fancies you. But I do wonder, you know, because I actually don't think I was doing 57 because I just got my new car and I was excited about having the
speed. Oh, this is recent.
Yeah, it was literally within 2 days of getting the car.
you'd be speeding.
You'd be banned by Fringe.
Yeah.
But it is annoying. But yeah, but so I mean, I wonder whether I can go, well, look, I just don't believe that these were calibrated. If you can't provide certificates.
Yeah, do it. What happens if you do it?
I get a fine and 3 points. Whereas
So you either take it or you...
Well, no, because what I can do is the speed awareness course.
But can't you just fight them in...
If I fight them in the magistrate's court...
But can't you say, I don't think this is calibrated right, and if it actually was, and then you go, all right, then I'll do this.
No, that's the thing. So that's kind of how they get you. You know, they it's very tempting. They're like, all this can go away if you just sit in a conference room for it's 3 hours. £100.
I did a speed awareness course once. That was a scam. I got caught at one of the top 10 speed traps in the UK. Basically, in Canary Wharf, when you drive from the road down the tunnel, it's 40, 40, 40. Then it changes to 30, but doesn't really say it.
Going up north, there's like, you go up north to Aberdeen, there's like a speed camera. Like it's a dip, a speed camera, and there's like a fucking sign in front of it.
Shouldn't be admissible.
Yeah.
Same coming off the M32 into the centre of Bristol. Everyone gets caught on the fact that you go from motorway straight to city centre driving. 40 kilometre average speed gets everyone.
There's in London. I remember seeing a thing years ago. It was in London. There's like
in the comments, write down the speed trap that you
man. But the speed awareness course is just full of like people there. Like, they take it. Let me. I was like, what are you doing? Then the guy was going around going, you've all been caught speeding. And I was like, not me. I was tricked. And then he got really angry because I was adamant. I said, listen, I wasn't. I was following the thing. The sign changed. I didn't know it changed. I would have followed it. Went, no, but you've been speeding in the past. But no, I haven't. He just said, if you're not going to admit that you were speeding in the past, we just cancel the speed awareness.
So they have this like quasi-authority, right? Yeah. Because obviously they're third-party course providers. But in theory, they can write a letter.
It's the same authority you get with like signing on. Like that kind of like it's the same level of authority of like not real authority. These guys probably just they failed getting into the police, and this is the job they've got.
I hate anyone with that kind of attitude. Actually,
Taking the job too seriously.
Yeah, anyone that's got a kind of a little bit of, it's not even discretion really, is it? Because there's still a protocol they've got, and they don't fear the fact that they've got a boss who can do a review of what they've decided.
Well, anyway,
back to Weinstein.
Yeah. So anyway, Weinstein's innocent.
Why are we talking about speeding?
Procedural technicality of the camera calibration.
Oh, God. Right. Anyway, so the Weinstein thing was that, right? But obviously, obviously a bad guy. No, but I've got a story about Weinstein. I got a friend in America who works as a PA to a very, very famous person who won't let me say, but like...
Well, tell us. We'll beat the name.
A-list?
Well, just tell us. We'll beat the name.
I can't. A-list.
Well, no, but I...
No, but I don't believe you will.
I will.
Right. A-list Hollywood.
Just say the name. So
I believed you. I believed you would until you said I will. No, it's totally right not to say the name.
I promise I'll tell you off air.
All of these.
Well, just say it now. I promise I'll beep it.
No.
I promise.
Why? What's the point?
Just make up a name.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, I'll just lie. Actually, that's the point. I just need to start using Darius's playbook against him.
Yeah.
Well, no one.
Angelina Jolie.
Well, it's obviously not her because you said him.
Yeah.
So,
Brad. I'm assuming Brad Pitt.
Go anyway to finish your story.
Point is right. And his friend does a podcast that I guested on, and we recorded it in this person's office, right? And there's like you can imagine like all of these like Hollywood producers and whatever. They've just got an office where they have like three or four of their staff, right? And there's a block in New York above a restaurant where Weinstein had his office, and it was literally like two doors down from this guy's office.
This is
office.
My story. This is a known. This is someone's life. This is a known story about this.
I know, but I'm. This is true because I've been here. Wait. Basically, what I heard was there's a restaurant underneath.
Yeah,
right?
And he used to take them out to the office and bang them.
I told you this probably after I went to New York.
I told you this.
No, that cannot be true.
This is my story. No, I lived in New York, and I told you.
So
this
hang on,
story.
This is just corroborated. Then I'm telling you, I went to Ground Zero because. I was told, they went, oh, by the way, this restaurant, this office block has a back door to this restaurant. And what Weinstein would do is he would have like a code word for the...
Dessert.
Told you this story.
I told you. The code.
So I don't think you did tell me.
Basically, he would say, he'd bring young starlets to this restaurant, say he was going for dessert, and the restaurant would facilitate him by opening the doors and stuff. He'd take them to the office and then he'd say... do you want to be a star? And they'd say, yes. And he'd go, unzip.
Are you... Well, this is so boring to have this out, but I am confident...
It genuinely is.
Yeah, yeah. I'm confident when it happened, I would have told you all about this. That's how you know the story.
Like when I was in 2017.
But I've known you... I would have been a New Yorker.
Oh, I know. Well, anyway, okay.
The point is, I believe that Weinstein might be a rotter.
Think he's not an upstanding gentleman?
No.
Are you trying... Are you implying... that Harvey Weinstein used his position of power to take advantage of young, impressionable women.
I have a theory on this.
I don't think he's a looker. I don't think they fancied him.
Do you remember years ago?
I don't.
Do you remember the football bungs inquiry? Years ago?
No.
What?
There was a,
George
Graham. So, years ago in football, there was an inquiry into bungs. And what was happening was...
bribes.
Managers were selling players and then getting kickbacks for selling that player, right? And only one manager ever got done by it, and it was Joe Graham. He came out, he made this crazy speech where he was like, I've not profited at all from this, because he donated the money to charity afterwards. And he could say, I have not profited from this situation. When anyone uses that sound of language, you just go, oh, mate, you've done it. And you just knew from that point on he'd done it. But I guarantee you, at that point, that was rife in football. It's not. And what happens is they prosecute one person, and then the industry gets to clean up and go, it's no longer happening when one person's gone down.
They made an example of
the phrase with the Weinstein thing. Whenever there's an open secret in the world, open secrets just tend to be true. We knew about Gary Glitter for fucking years. We knew about Savile for years. There's a phrase in Hollywood called the casting couch. That's been around since like the fucking 1930s, and it's like, there's no way it's only Weinstein.
Of course, it's still going on.
How do you think I got a gig at Hoots this weekend? I guess, what isn't said enough, right? Now, obviously, this is, you know.
Do you consent?
There comes a point when it's like, what happened with Weinstein is like so clearly wrong on like any way you look at it, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think what's not said enough is...
I was shot.
Well, you know, the counter argument to that is that, and Leo would say this if he were here, he would say, these women have agency. They can say no.
Independent and powerful... I definitely have sympathy for. I mean, look, you know that I have been a little bit sexually assaulted by someone who works in comedy, right?
No, I don't. What?
I told you about this.
No, I don't know this.
All right. Well, anyway, we're not. You know, low level stuff. But if the genders were the other way around,
I would have
gone to the papers.
Well, I don't know this story.
Well, I'm not going to tell it. Anyway, the point is,
oh, mate.
Well, you've been a really rubbish. Second tier free SP host
were
today.
Don't you dare second tier me.
Were you part
of the extended universe? won't say names.
Were you baby reindeered by Joe Pasquale? This is. I've got a Joe Pasquale story. He showed me his ass. So, right. All I want to say is like there is something about these like unregulated industries, or basically any industry. Like I think it's true of banking. It was like an open secret when I was a student that the banks would like hire attractive young women because it's like it makes good business sense to have them about.
But that's not an open. That's any business.
Yeah, so it's the opioid crisis.
That's what I mean. But like what by open secret I mean is like there is a degree to which we all use our sexuality to get ahead, right? Like
to get ahead. Little joke.
And you know, like I can definitely think I can think of instances where you know you have to kind of, I think like we just show face to promoters too. Like even bloke to bloke, a promoter will say something to me, which I'm like, "Oh, you dick." But
like what?
Well, I mean, I remember I texted a promoter saying I was running late for a gig. They replied saying "chop chop," And I thought, I'm so ready to just turn this car around and not work. But I couldn't say no to the money.
Why did Chop Chop make you angry?
Well, because it's patronising, isn't it?
Not really.
Well, it did annoy me.
So,
let me finish this point. Otherwise, it seems like I'm being a rape apologist.
No, I mean, you never say sorry for any of your rapes.
Right, that's not a good joke.
Yeah, go on then.
I guess my point is that if we allow stuff at the very, very... At the kind of the acceptable spectrum of just like, I think it's changing is my point. Like, I think just using one's sexuality in order to get ahead generally is on the way out.
It's funny. You must have all been told stories where you've just gone, what the fuck? From female acts.
Well, oh, it's awful. Yeah, it's endemic. A female act in Bristol within a year of gigging was getting seedy messages from men in the circuit 30 years older than her. Like, it's just...
Actually, I also gave up comedy because of that.
It prevents them from taking so many opportunities because you've got things like, do you want to do a gig? Yeah, how much is the fee? 50 quid, but you can stay on our couch. It's like, that's fun. For female acts, it's a recipe for disaster.
I won't name the act, but a female act told me a story about gigging in, like, someone like Morecambe or something like that. And the promoter basically went, yeah, there's a room. And then it was like, oh, right, there's a room, but there's only one bed.
So she's like,
I'll sleep on this side of bed, that side of bed. And then she woke up and the promoter was fucking jerking off over her.
Man, I mean...
Are they still both of those people in the business?
One of them is.
Who?
The promoter. Female.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, she's still in it. He's gone. But she just went, oh, just put it away and just turned over.
But that is the sort of thing that would just put you off being in comedy.
Oh, mate, totally.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What, someone wanking off over you?
I think so.
So what happened to you?
No, all that happened was it was a fringe thing like 5-6 years ago where like a female act, we were drunk and a female act just got like a bit too, who's like way more senior than me, just like got very touchy and like started, you know.
Oh, that happened to me. I've been groomed by female acts.
Yeah, and then went in to kiss me and it's like, I didn't really, you know, it happened. I was like, okay. And it's one of those things where like...
It's only grooming if they're ugly.
Well, look...
It's true. You wouldn't mind if she was really fit.
Well, I don't think that is it. I think it's just more like, I thought we had like a friendship that was professional. Hmm. And obviously, you know, they just thought differently. And so that's why I guess I'm quite sympathetic because I don't actually think they're wrong. Like, we should live in a world where you can shoot your shot and you can meet people at work who later become your romantic partners. Like, I don't want to put a stop to that. But it did make me think, like, you know, certainly if the dynamic was the other way around, if it was someone with their level of seniority who was a bloke and I was at my level in comedy, you'd go to Chortle and it would make front page news.
I don't think men and women can be friends. That's my
You
theory.
And I get on pretty well.
Yeah. You're allegedly a man.
I
don't think men and women can be friends, or at least men and fit women can be friends. You're always trying to bang them. I don't have any female friends, fit ones.
There's that really horrible...
Those are ugly ones.
There is that TikToker that does that thing where he makes girls call their guy best friend and just say, hey, look, do you want to come over? We should bang. And like, it's basically 100% hit, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All guys, I just don't... You just can't be friends with a fit woman. You can't. You just wait, like, tag me in, baby. Just I'm waiting here, patiently waiting. You can't. It's impossible.
I've definitely got friendships that are predicated on the will they won't they frequency, which tends to stop when they're married.
What does will they won't they?
Will they won't they have full penetrative sex to completion?
Anal.
Well, that could be penetrative.
Yeah, could be. Anyway, so I think we've covered the Harvey Weinstein thing
I don't think that topic has been treated with the care.
The point is, he's an innocent man of one rape due to procedural misconduct by the New York whoever.
But there's going to be a retrial.
He was convicted on other rapes where they got all the procedure correct.
Yeah. And
which is a waste of time. It's like, why bother for that one? You've got about 20 other ones.
Because there's a victim. Because there's a victim and someone wants to feel like...
No, but why bother to fight against that charge?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Oh, yeah, shoot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he should just roll over to the prosecutors.
What's the point? You're in prison. Yeah, I agree. Why are you trying to fight this woman?
I'll tell you why. Because I bet it just means he gets to leave prison for a couple of days.
How long does he...
He can go to the court. It's probably quite nice to leave.
What's his sentence?
Oh, it's like hundreds of years.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to die in prison.
What about Lawrence Fox being...
I didn't hear about this.
Well, that's also breaking news. Lawrence Fox told to pay £180,000 in libel damages. Lawrence Fox has been ordered to pay £90,000 in damages each to two people he referred to as paedophiles. The actor-turned-politician lost a high court case with former Stonewall trustees Simon Blake and drag artist Christie's. He made the remark on X... Formerly Twitter.
Formerly Twitter.
Formerly, at every point they've got to say that X. Formerly Twitter.
It's like dealing with Prince.
Yeah.
What was the tweet that you were calling someone a pedo? You call people pedos all the time.
Yeah, but we don't do it on Twitter.
We don't do it on Twitter. The subtext of that is that it's two gay guys, isn't it?
We probably, yeah.
Drag and Stonewall would be, I would guess.
I saw that he got in a fight with his ex-wife where he accused her of snorting cocaine or something, and then he took that tweet down.
So
he seems to be playing with fire a bit.
It's partly this belief of in freedom of speech that freedom of speech covers lying about stuff and making stuff up. That's the zone you're in with it. Whereas,
no, you could definitely lie about things as long as it doesn't cause people harm.
No, but that's the thing. But there's an element to it where I can say whatever I like.
No, I don't think I don't think that was his argument. He just called them nonsense.
No, I think that's what I'm saying. But I do think there's in the background of that is a.
Nah, you're putting your own prejudice on. You're thinking I think this is it and that is why, but that's. You don't know what's in their head, why, and you don't know about freedom of speech is freedom of speech. This is where Rick and I fundamentally disagree. Rick wants to live under communist China party, whereas me, I believe in freedom of speech.
Well, I mean, but defamation is a very, very... Also, this is interesting, right? One way of thinking about the law of defamation is it actually protects...
It's libel.
Well, okay, but it's this, like, yeah. One's written down, one's spoken, right? Yeah. One way of thinking about it is it protects freedom of speech really, really well because you can say literally whatever you want, but it does come at a cost. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if I want to say stuff that causes you harm, right, you are allowed to do so, but you've just got to pay whatever losses that you incur when you do that. So it's like the speech is allowed. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but there's a consequence to it.
Well, it's not even a consequence. It's just like the price is baked in. Right, the price of you saying whatever you want is, if that causes them financial loss, you've got to compensate them for that loss. There's a really interesting
what's the ultimate defense for defamation or libel?
Truth. Yeah. So if they were
but even then,
that's
though,
fair enough.
The courts are screwed because it's so expensive to defend yourself, as we know.
Well, as we know.
As we know.
But I do. The problem with him, right, is. He is courting this because he spends most of his time on Twitter saying, well, I'm going to speak to my lawyer about this. I'm telling, right? Like,
I met him. I met him at Leo's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was in person.
He probably is in person,
nice guy,
a really nice, charming guy.
Quite tall, really, like, noticeably skinny in person. Like, right. I'm like, whoa. Like, I'm slim, but he's skinny. Like, his legs are tiny.
I think you're getting fat.
Are you mad? I got a little bit ripped for WrestleMania, then I started eating again. Now I'm a bit fat, but I'm gonna start training soon. Got a new training. I'm following Mike Mentzer's training routine. Do you know who Mike Mentzer is?
No.
Mike Mentzer, if you want to hear a conspiracy theory, he is one of the greatest bodybuilders of all time, and he was meant to win the 1980s Mr. Olympia. But this is how far everything's rigged. So he's up against Arnold, right? Basically, everyone knew he beat Arnold. But Arnold was such a big star at the time, and he didn't. Everyone had to pay their deference to Arnold. They had to, because Arnold was bringing all the eyes to the competition, making them money. So even if he lost, which was fine, because he lost to another bodybuilder, who's actually, in my opinion, got the best body of all time. Best body, Zane. I think I've forgotten his first name, Zane. I'll find a picture. It's amazing. Anyway, he. Paid the deference to the Arnold's great, and he was allowed to win. But Mike Mentzer refused to allow to bow down, and he got robbed of the 1980 Mr. Olympia. But Mike Mentzer's got a very unique training method. His training method is you only train once, like every 4 days, and you just train intensely and really short period, which went against everything that the establishment said, which was to train twice a day, high protein diet. But since I've been doing his training routine, which is one training for like every 4 days, really high intensity, I can say safely my body's got considerably shitter. So
the idea that it takes 4 days to recover properly. Yeah.
It takes me 4 days to recover from a carvery.
I'm trying to remember the bodybuilder. What isn't it? Frank Zane. The best body, in my opinion, in all bodybuilding.
Can the speculation about whether Darius is gay start now, please?
What? Listen, you know what? This is such... I can appreciate the male form. Go on then,
appreciate mine.
Like I said, I can appreciate the male form, right? With a toned, muscular physique. Yeah, nice. I am... The funniest thing was...
Darius, I was not convinced.
I thought he's not... And then there's just the toned, muscular physique.
What? Darius, what's gay about that?
You've got to put a cushion over your boner. We can't put this up.
Listen, you know, I was in America.
Tight. Ripped.
Good at snogging.
There's nothing better than appreciating that. You might my head in a pillow, his hand on the back of my head.
Yeah.
I was in America. Do you know Louis? Have you met Louis?
I know.
My crazy Egyptian friend Louis, Muslim, right? We're in California. We met his cousin, and his cousin, Muslim guy, was the most militant homophobe I've ever met. Right.
Right.
To the point, yeah, he denied that he could see he could tell when a man's good looking. Right. He was like, we were like David Beckham's like. Good daybreak. Daybreak is good looking. I said, no, I cannot see. I said, you can't tell if a man's good looking or not. He goes, no, it's impossible. So I says, you can't tell that David Beckham is objectively more handsome than, say, fucking some big fat shit. He goes, it's impossible for me to tell. I can't see the difference at all.
I'm his type.
That's when you know you're a real militant homophobe. When you can't even differentiate between men.
No, I disagree. I think the guy's in the closet. I think he's just...
Oh, he's obviously in the closet. Yeah. But also, he was like, I am America. And he was like it was really funny because he used to take the piss out. He was like, England shit, your NHS shit. I believe you must pay for healthcare. It's amazing. We pay, it's great. Then we went to like a Mexican restaurant and they gave free nachos. And I was like, well, free nachos. I said, yes, you see, it's amazing, free nachos. You don't get this in shitty UK. I went, yeah, but we get free healthcare. You see the conspiracy, the comparison now. Anyway. So what are
you
we saying?
Do forget how many legit homophobes still actually exist. I mean, we're so lucky in the UK that it's like if you are
I'd love to look like Frank.
If you are a homophobe, you keep those thoughts to yourself now.
If you like bodybuilders, list your favorite bodybuilder below. No HGH gut because they ate human growth hormone then. Mm-hmm. So now they've got palumboism. Do you know what that is? If you look at a lot of bodybuilders today, they've got a six pack, but their stomach sticks out.
Yeah, that's what I got.
That's from human growth hormone, but they've taken it and their insides have swelled and grown. And they also, if they get big heads, you know Zac Efron looks great in the...
I've seen Iron Claw.
Iron Claw.
His head looks different.
He's taken HGH, that's why he's so shredded.
Really?
And he's got palumboism, so that's why his fucking head looks... Basically, it grows everything. So it grows your internal organs, but also it grows your head and your hands.
And your dick?
So,
Didn't they put Messi on HGH?
Yeah, but that was because he had precocious puberty is or whatever, the late version of that. So he never went through puberty. So they put it through, so he just basically kicked his puberty in. But a lot of people take HGH, and apparently it's a wonder drug, but you've got to really moderate it carefully.
Well, yeah. Do you take it?
Man, it's a grand to take a human growth hormone. Grand a month, but it renews everything. But
Zac Efron.
Zac Efron's taking it, and because of that,
did I tell you about this Chinese drug that I got scammed into buying?
No,
it's you might know about this. So when I was in China, I was passing through Hong Kong, and my Chinese friend said, "Oh, can you buy me some of this?"
Well, when Justin came to visit me in New York, he bought something called Yongang, which I've discussed on the podcast.
NMN.
What?
Oh, NMN.
NMN.
I've got that.
And it was like, it was 300 quid.
What?
For this like super high concentrate from China one, right? And then my friend was like, oh, can you buy it for me?
Yeah.
And I'll give you the money. Then I bought the wrong one. She was like, I don't want it. I went, what do we do with it then? So she went, oh, you just have it.
You've got NMN now at your house.
Yeah.
Basically,
do you want to take it?
Well, I've got my, I've not been taking them for a while, but my anti-aging stack is metformin, NMN, although metformin now has been told that it might like slower your workout
results.
That's
the diabetes jog.
Metformin, NMN. I had a few of them. I might start taking them.
One that pops up in my Insta feed now says Shilajit.
I've taken that. That's a testosterone booster.
Testosterone booster.
And Tonka Ali.
Yeah. And that's
the boost testosterone.
I follow a guy on YouTube called, what's his name? Can't think of his name. But he did a test on it on Tonka Ali.
And it worked.
It worked, but he ended up with a cyst in his testicles.
I mean, that's a.
Apparently, yeah. So you bet you.
Doesn't everything ultimately have some kind of side effect?
Don't think that's a.
That's my theory on weight loss and food is that we should list weight loss and we should list side effects on weight loss and food.
Like you feel miserable. You can't go to Nando's when you want.
Just this will cause you to do this. Yeah, you do with this will cause. I did. It was I was just like anytime I go for a McDonald's, I know I'm gonna get diarrhea. And I think this should be on the side of the packet, like they do with cigarettes.
Yeah. Apparently, McDonald's
gets diarrhea.
McDonald's have got new burgers now. They fry the onions inside the patty.
They do, and they've got brioche buns on them.
I think they. My theory about brioche is nice, but my theory is that restaurants have moved to it not because it's better.
Ollie's speciality topic.
Why are you being rude?
I'm not. I'm getting some.
My speciality topic is law, food. Japan.
Chingonghua.
Girls.
And food.
So my theory about the kind of the brioche hostile takeover, because it used to be seeded, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is because brioches last longer. I think that restaurants just think about having a product that can sit on the shelf for 4 or 5 days. And when you toast it, you don't really notice that it's old. Mm. That's my theory as to why brioche is taking over.
I think there's something, we've moved towards the sweet flavour of it as well.
Yeah, possibly. Oh, man. Driving up here, I stopped and got a chicken Big Mac. It was one of the most depressing scenes. Oh. Right? So the chicken Big Mac, I don't know why they constructed it like this, but the top bun and the first chicken patty has no lettuce and no sauce and no cheese.
Yeah.
So imagine it goes...
But that's how it does normally, right?
For the Big Mac, right?
Yeah.
But at least the... Anyway, this is what happened. Took it. I mean, I was so depressed. I went through the drive-thru and ate it in my car, even though there was a place to sit in the service station.
I get it, then I eat driving. It's very dangerous.
It is dangerous. I could do that with nuggets. In fact, there's an accessory you can get for your steering wheel that you can put a barbecue sauce pot on. But
we'll link to it below in the description on Amazon.
I'm an influencer.
Can we get them to sponsor the pod?
Can you think of anything?
Oh, talking about a sponsor.
Fuck off, I haven't finished chicken Big Mac
Jesse,
story.
Just reminded High Point .care owe us money and never paid us and then just went silent.
No way.
Yeah.
So where should we go?
I mean, there's complaints about that on the...
Yeah.
The funniest thing was, for a while, it was just Leo getting messages to his YouTube comments going... Yeah. I'm a customer of High Point Care and my product hasn't been delivered. Leo is just a proxy for their customer service. Anyway, so I opened up the box and the bun went with it because it's like they must steam it.
Stop.
No, so on the footwell of my car was the top bun and the first of the two chicken patties. And I thought...
And you were so angry, it forced you to drive at 57 miles per hour.
And I thought this is a disaster, but something very good happened, which is... Imagine now the top side of the middle bun, right? So you've got crown, chicken patty, middle bun. Everything in that strata has no sauce and no lettuce, no pickles, no nothing, right? What I did, and this is skillful. No, I'm talking nonsense. All I had to do was swap the middle bun over to expose the dry side. So I basically created a single sandwich Big Mac with middle bun. I mean, look, this isn't actually interesting.
Yeah, this has got really boring.
But the point is, I am
basically
resourceful.
You turned the sauce part back and you made it more.
Yeah,
sauce.
And generally,
that
I think
that was really shit.
I do
chicken Big Mac. you think it's going to be nice.
It's rubbish.
It's not that
absolutely
nice.
Rubbish.
It's too
also,
dry.
I also don't think the sauce is the Fuck same me. As the normal Big Mac sauce.
Just got a call from my dentist.
Saying what?
Well, I don't know. I didn't answer it.
What time?
I was listening to your boring.
What time did he call you? 16:30.
Don't get it. 2:30. What time does a Chinese man go to a dentist?
Whenever he wants.
No. That's not racist, so it's not funny. What time does a Chinese man go to a dentist?
2:30.
1:30. Thank you very much.
But that's not funny.
It is funny. 1:30. I made that up.
China was good, by the way. Yeah. Oh, did I tell you about how... So I spent 3 days in Beijing, right?
Yeah.
So I spent this time in Hong Kong and then transited in Beijing.
Wait a minute. What are my special skills? Well, yours is law.
Law, foods, Japanese.
Yeah.
And I guess latterly girls. Travel
you
and
do
girls.
The eyes well.
And what are mine then?
You've got...
Can we just point out that he didn't list comedy?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the comedy's not involved. No. One.
You've got anti-aging and like self-help, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, anti-aging, self-help.
Good. Autism.
Autism.
You've got...
ADHD.
ADHD, revenge, spite.
Revenge, spite. Scams.
Scams.
Actually, talking of the scams, we need to... how can we defraud Pret after treacherous?
This is bad. I think what happened... So all that happened is, by accident, allegedly... I had one Pret subscription mm-hmm. and a WhatsApp group with me, Darius, my sister, and Joe, my mate. Yeah. And all that would happen was if obviously we weren't defrauding them, but if Darius happened to be in Pret without me, he might accidentally use my code.
No, this is what Pret don't understand, you morons. Now we've cancelled the subscription. Now you don't get the money. Listen,
I did check the terms of service. You're allowed to share it.
Yeah, why? Even if you didn't check the terms, but why do they care?
How much is the subscription?
It's like £29 a month or something.
It's expensive now, right?
£29 a month. And what do you get for the £29?
You get five coffees a day and 15% off the products. But what would happen was you can't have the same. You can't use the code within a half hour period, which is why we had the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
And so there were some instances where, like, my sister would get a Pret in Brighton, and then 45 minutes later, I'd be getting a Pret in Edinburgh.
Yeah, but so what? But this is what I don't understand. Why do Pret care? It's like you say we can have five a day. Why do you care? It's what I don't understand about companies. Why do you care if I drink five myself or I give five away and let other people use it?
I used to do that. I used to always get a drink for homeless people.
So why do they care? Because now what's happened is they could have had £30 a month. It was fine. Probably would have kept it. But now because they've done that and you've got to use the app and you can't share it, so fine, we're not
going to
do it.
I've stopped going to Pret altogether. Because the way it works is, obviously, they tempt you in with a drink and then you upsell to a sandwich. My actual hack these days is do not sleep on Marks & Spencer's. The Marks & Spencer's meal deal is still, like, very reasonably priced. Plus, another hack, if you want
to
get a...
That's not a hack. That's go to Marks & Spencer's for lunch. Eat at lunch. Get your meal deal at Marks & Spencer's.
I tell you what, doing a meal deal, boots. Mate. Yeah. Oh, mate, boots.
No, the sandwiches are not good. But... what I will do, if I want to have a drink, it's almost always true now that if there's a Marks & Spencer's at a service station or a Waitrose, a pint of milk is cheaper than the equivalent 500 milliliters bottle
of
water.
A pint of milk's disgusting.
Because I don't like the idea of spending that much money on water. And if they don't have a refill station, I will out of spite buy a pint of milk and drink
Listen,
that.
Listen, I want to talk about piracy and what companies need to understand, right? You must understand this to all companies. When it comes to piracy, right? If you give us a reasonable price, make it easy, and it's fine, we'll pay. But once you start, like, now all the subscriptions, like, we're not going to pay it. And then people, like, we're not going to pay, like, 20 different services, Netflix, just get one. And what they don't understand is, like, it's, oh, but you're stealing. Like, I'm never going to watch it anyway. If I pirate your film, if I couldn't get it for free, I would never watch it.
But
you lose nothing.
We've had this chat a lot, right? How do you actually square your way of, like, square this with the fact that you work in the entertainment industry, and ultimately you are selling your IP to people?
Very easily.
No, I'll tell you what it's like me turning up to one of your shows and going, well, I wouldn't have bought a ticket anyway, but I want to sit at the back and watch.
Well, people do that, and I get furious about it.
Yes, that's my point.
But yeah, no, it's not. It's totally different.
No, it's not.
Because, no, are you mad? I'm not stealing from Simon Kane. I'm not going to Simon Kane, I'm not paying you. I'm watching, I don't know, whatever the Hollywood blockbuster is that I couldn't be bothered, like a Marvel film. I'm going to pirate that and watch that.
Well, so they've still got to make money, though.
No,
they don't. Yeah, they do. Well, I'm going to pirate. I don't care. That's how I square it. Very easily. I sleep very easy at night pirating Marvel films.
Yeah.
And Baby Reindeer, which I pirated last night.
How? I think you have Netflix.
Even though I've got Netflix, even though I have Netflix.
This is how committed Darius is.
I watched it on my illegal Fire Stick with Arabic subtitles. No, I ruined the experience for myself, yeah? I now know that the Arabic for no is a line and it looks like a pie sign. That's how you say no in Arabic. We'll write it down.
I will quite happily... I don't consider anything different now with pirating stuff.
What do you mean?
I'll quite happily download something illegally. I pay for... I have got Amazon Prime. I've got Netflix and I've got a Cineworld pass.
No one likes to show off.
Like that. So I go... So there's a...
What does the Cineworld pass get you?
Free cinema.
For how many people?
Me.
How many times?
Unlimited.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you go twice in a month and you're saving money.
Yeah, but you love the cinema.
I do. And you've only just recently watched Fight Club and then had to phone me and ask what happened.
Ollie is so unread, if that's the word, when it comes to...
Well, it's just films.
Anyway, but get your point about piracy.
So I'm
I didn't realise it was the same bloke.
I know. You're just... that's who you're getting your law advice from.
Yeah, we didn't do a module on film at Oxford.
No, we didn't do a module on film. I still watched Fight Club. Anyway, we're going to tell about your piracy.
Yeah, so for me, I will quite often do that because, just for the ease, it depends on what I'm doing. Because I will download something on a computer, so I can watch it while I'm working. So I can't do that with Netflix, basically. So
You can't bring your laptop into Cineworld.
No, I did get caught with that.
I've heard the story.
Yeah. We've discussed it on the pod before.
Have you really? Yeah.
You've literally sat here and discussed it. I mean, I just think companies just got no clue. Netflix was good when it first started off because it was like £7, had quite a large library. It's pretty easy to use, and was like, £7, no big deal. And it's easy.
It's
fine.
Like 15 quid now.
But now it's gone up to 15.
And it's changed. It's also changed.
Can't share passwords, can't do that. So people are like, now piracy's coming back again. Everyone's getting fired.
But but
it's actually easy to do, actually.
I saw someone tweeting from a recent comedy conference. There's something like 80% fewer or less, whatever word it is, comedy commissions this year than they were in the last 2 years. Basically, like, the amount of money that's going into new stuff is lower. And what one theory is, right, it is kind of secular. Is that the right word?
Circular.
Circular. Yeah. No, it comes in cycles. That, like, a load of money...
Cyclical.
A load of money at some point needs to come into the industry to pay for all this stuff, right? And then these streamers can kind of rest on their laurels, buy existing IP, keep their catalogue with, like, reruns of Friends. Mm-hmm. Then eventually there comes a pinch again and they've got to go to private equity, get a load of money.
Yeah. All these new comedy TV shows are being cancelled. But then I watched Baby Reindeer, which we should probably talk about. And I was like, yeah, no one's watching TV. TV's dead. No one watches TV. And even...
Strictly true. I listened to the Arrested Entertainment.
I do.
I think it's a great podcast. Also, this week in the Q&A, they were talking about should comedians have agents? Mm-hmm. And that, like, basically Richard Osman was just like going through all the comedy agents and saying which ones are good and bad. It was interesting how inside baseball it was.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
my point is, what they say on that podcast is loads of people watch TV, but the demographics are they're all over 50 and they're all watching Pointless.
Yeah.
Like, people watch linear TV, but it's...
But they're all over 50. My point is, this is what my whole point, sometimes I do a gig and it's all over 50 and I die. And I say, but I don't care. I don't want to be performing for my mum. My mum's not my audience. So these people, all the comedians of our generation now and younger, no one cares about...
Yeah, but you are going to have to learn how to play the 50-year-olds because eventually you will be 50.
Yeah, but when I'm 50, there'll be 50 people my age.
But you're going to have to stop pretending that you're not 50.
Yeah, but my 50-year-olds will be 50.
Yeah, but you'll still be pretending that you're in your 30s.
That's fine. They'll be jealous. No cap. Finna be good for that. Anyway, the point is, I don't even know what the point is. Point is, Baby Reindeer.
Oh, yeah.
I heard all the hype. I sat down, I watched it last night.
The reason a lot of the Fringe goers like it is because it started off as an Edinburgh Fringe show that then within 3 years...
It's basically two Edinburgh Fringe shows.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so it is...
Stop coming on here with knowledge.
Well, it is, because it's like he won the award for Run, Monkey Boy, Run, which is him on a after the sexual attack, he went running.
You got to give more context. I don't.
So
I've not
I'll explain. Also, it's a baby reindeer. So I kind of went in there. It was really. The reviews say it's unsettling, but basically, it is really good though. It's a drama. It's not comedy. There's a few funny.
It's got a feel of a sitcom at times.
There's a few and funny then, moments in it. Dark, but basically, it follows this Richard Gadd. I guess is a true story.
Who you know in real life?
Yeah, I've known for years. Yeah.
So I want to ask you a few questions about him in a second. He's been stalked by this woman, like crazily stalked. Like, message him at all times of day, just insane.
It's close to like 31,000 over a period of 2 years. It's like 31,000 emails.
But it's a kind of a symbiotic relationship because he kind of likes the stalking and he doesn't really, encourages it to extend.
Previous to the stalking, so it comes into it partway through. Previous to the stalking, he was sexually assaulted by a TV producer.
Do you know who it is?
I don't know who the TV producer is.
When you say sexually assaulted, that's actually kind of...
It's mild. I mean, he's raped, though. Raped. Repeatedly raped.
And they kind of show it in the show. And I remember thinking, how can you get raped? But then you watch his... They handled it pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job. And it kind of fucked him up.
Not knowing anything about this, right... The cynic in me says, this is him telling his story.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is...
Yeah, it's literally his story.
But I guess...
Well, maybe the male rapist needs to go and fucking do his own Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
Get a venue at Laughing Horse.
So basically... God,
it's full this year.
So...
Because they lost Cavill.
Yeah, so basically, then...
Who's taken over Cavill?
Just the tonic. After the baby reindeer, the series is from two mental incidents. The first is he did two Edinburgh shows. The first show he did was I think he won the award from Banshee Labyrinth. I think that's where he was
on Calgate.
And he
were these stand up shows?
Yeah, well, sort
storytelling.
Basically the first show. So he did Breaking Gad. Right, which is him doing a stand-up show.
Was he good at stand-up?
Yeah, what's his stand-up? Because I was watching I was like, watching that show made me depressed about how shit I am at stand-up.
Was he good at stand-up?
Made me feel shit.
Why?
Right. Because I was watching it and it's like, wow, this is like this and this, and I'm talking about my dick or something.
So his stand-up,
You also talk about Klarna.
Anti-comedy. It's borderline clowning. And he would do stuff with audio. So he'd have a punchline, and then there would be, you'd like it because it was overproduced.
So the stand-up bits in the show
are like, pretty much
what he would do.
Yeah, and he would die, but it was actually, you could see it was good.
Did he do it at Monkey Barrel and stuff?
He's performed for me at Monkey Barrel, probably just before the pandemic.
Would you book him here at Hoots?
100%.
Yeah, well, now he's famous now. But what was his stand-up like? Like, if before he was like in...
So he would do what you'd like. It's audio-visual stuff. But it's almost clip-based audio-visual stuff. So whereas you do long-form audio-visual, he would have that on, and then it would be a PowerPoint presentation.
Like Darren Walsh sometimes
does. Don't know
Darren Walsh, he does just the middle of a set. At the end of his set, he'll just like click a button, and then a song will just play like... I have this little onion. So and then he goes, that's your lot.
I can't remember it was him.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your lot.
And then, so he would, but it would be totally audiovisual. That click, and he'd perform with the, whatever the PowerPoint presentation was.
So was he a professional, because I never 100%. Saw him.
Yeah, so basically.
So was his job professional comedian?
Yes, he was up here. The timeline on the show is pretty accurate. That bad time at the Fringe. Then got taken to London.
He's from Edinburgh.
He's from Scotland. He's from Scotland. He did the Fringe. Got taken. Went down to London. He wrote on. Did you watch Sex Education?
No.
Netflix sitcom.
I heard of it or something.
Netflix sitcom. He wrote.
It was very good, actually.
It's pretty good. And then he's one of those guys. It's one of those things where you go, right. So he wrote on things and he was kind of blessed, but he went away, and then he came back and he did Breaking Gad, which was a show everyone loved, and that was like really audio visual stuff. Then he came back completely different and did Run Monkey Boy Run, I think it was called. And basically, the whole of Run Monkey Boy Run, he is on a treadmill for the entire hour, just running.
It's fucking right. Hard work.
Sounds like
he's on a treadmill running for the entire hour, and then sounds playing on, and he's interacting with these sounds. And the reason that he was on the treadmill running was that what he did to cope with the sexual assault was go running. That's how he dealt with it, and it's all about that.
Maybe I need to be sexually assaulted. Is that funny?
Then
no, funny.
No. that is my toxic response. Like, that could give me a kick up the arse.
Then he won the award for that, I think. And then
where was that show? Pleasance?
No, it was. I think it was.
What was that show like? Was it comedy though? Baby Reindeer, I couldn't think. How is this stand up?
Okay, so basically, Run Monkey Boy Run was sort of tragic comedy about a sexual assault, but also funny. Then he went away, and the next thing he came back with was a play called Baby Reindeer, which he did at, what's the vet college, Summer Hall.
Oh, yeah.
Which he did at Summer Hall.
But that wasn't stand-up. That was a play.
And then they've turned the play and some of, to explain the full thing, basically, because that's what it starts off with the play. It starts off meeting the stalker, and then it is an episode where it talks about the sexual assault, and that then moves into what happened pre.
So was, but before all of that, before like these, was he like gigging in clubs? What was his stand up? His 20-minute routine set was just
20-minute routine. It's him being crazy with a soundscape behind him at times. So he'd click stuff.
And was he like already an industry darling? Because it's just me looking on. I don't really know him. Although, incidentally, listeners, he is part of the 3SP extended universe.
Why?
Because I followed him on Instagram, and he is following Ole Kreis.
No way.
The cartoon Leo that they made.
That stopped. So now.
He's that stopped. Well, he's hardly on it. But anyway, he's part of the extended universe. Yeah. So it seemed to me looking on him watching, it's like, oh, this guy must have been kind of in like, you know, the comedy cabal, whatever, you know, one of those ones, Pleasance and that kind of thing.
No, he was up here. He was gigging, and then he basically made the move to London.
But I reckon if his dream was to write a sitcom, then and you're motivated, I think it's possible. You don't have to be part of the cabal to do that.
You know,
he
moved to London, kept in with the Fringe. But yeah, as I say, Breaking Gad was the first show he did. Was maybe a second show, but he did a show called Breaking Gad, which was really well received.
Did you see it? Did you see any of these shows? Of his actual shows?
I've seen Run Monkey Boy Run.
And that, I mean, was that comedy then? What would you say that was?
I think it's a comedy performance, it's a play, but it's more of a play than stand up. I think it's a show. Do you know what I mean? It's like one of those things, it's like Nanette. What people think about Nanette, is it stand up? Is it a show?
That's true, actually. Like a lot of stand up shows aren't really stand up for an hour, are they?
No. Do you know what I mean? It's like that difference between you can get the one liner who just stands there doing joke, then you get someone who's doing a story, and then like that is, you know, Baby Reindeer was billed as a play, you know, and he's just, I mean, it's a sin. The thing is that what you go, how did these two crazy things happen to this one person? What it is that the sexual assault opened the door for his reaction to allow the stalker in, basically.
But what,
because he took a he was so low after what he'd gone through that he ends up with the, you know, struggling with his sexuality now and his feelings and all
but
that.
But now what's happened though is because it's based on a true story, people have gone online and found out who these people actually are and have exposed them. So now a producer today has come out and said, it's not me. And he's in the BBC today.
Oh, God.
I don't want to say names. And there's, but the person who it is, who I've been told from sources, let me just get the name. So I know who the rapist is, apparently. I'm not going to say names.
This is the great podcast.
But I'm going to insinuate the name.
Have the chat.
So
about...
with a little bit.
Why
of
are you doing this, Darius? You don't need to do this. You're showing off.
Well, because this
just do what I did and not say a name.
All right, don't look at the Third Reich then. That's what I'm going to say. No, that doesn't mean anything.
What else have we got to talk about?
How long have we done? This has been an interesting... But anyway, the point is, that's a really... Baby Reindeer was a very good show.
It's a really good show. It's
how long does it last?
It's
seven episodes.
Seven episodes, yeah.
Did you get through all last night?
Yeah, 30 minutes
each. It's half hour each.
What time do you go to bed?
About 2:33.
Dentist's favourite time?
1:30.
It's
not even funny.
It was much...
What? 1:30.
It was much more brutal than I thought. Because I thought when I started it, it just feels like it starts.
But
like
he's young; he's like 33.
Yeah,
he looks quite old in that show.
Yeah.
Tell Darius the story about where these letters REC came from. So that says record, right?
Possibly,
but it doesn't.
We got them. we managed to reclaim them because a business called Vans Direct went out of business.
That's pretty good. I'm just seeing if there's anything else that we want to cover before we.
Oh, right. Lamb.
Lamb. How are you going to do this lamb?
So what I think is we'll braise it for like 7 hours.
Yeah.
So do it like absolutely stuff it with an offensive amount of rosemary and garlic.
Yeah.
And put it in like a Dutch oven and just let it simmer. But I've started to get back into it. Maybe it's just an Easter thing, but whenever I get offered lamb, I'll always take it. Like the lamb I had in Bristol.
We did a gig in Bristol together.
No, we didn't.
Well, I was. Well, I. Oh no! Why was I in Bristol?
You were in Bath. You were gigging in Bath, and you just came.
Oh, that's
to lunch.
Right. I did. I MC. Oh, actually, it's before that. It reminds me. I was MCing Comedia Bath, which I think is kind of a woke club, right? Would you say?
Well, Bath, I think, is a very progressive city. But my feeling, I've only done it once or twice, Comedia Bath. But I think it's like it is a lot of stags and hens, you know, it's like quite an open club.
Well, the reason I bring it up is just reminding me, Joe Lycett this week has been talking about cancel culture in comedy and stuff like that. And he said that comedians kind of censoring themselves, it's a good thing. And then Simon Evans has written an article for The Spectator calling them out on it, about cancel culture in comedy. But I actually think the kind of tides, he's like, oh, there's less, the tides, I think the tides turning, you can say what you want.
Look, you and I chat about this all the time, right? I'll make a point of, if after a gig I say something which is like completely off the cuff, but kind of, you know.
Borderline,
yeah. Like, okay, I'll give one example of something which like, wouldn't, you know, I'm not proud that I said it, but it was really funny.
But you are proud that you said it.
Well, no, I know.
Sound like you're proud.
It was really funny, but it's like, I wouldn't sit down at a writing session and go, "Why this should be my angle of attack, right?" Basically, I got a really big laugh when I was gigging in Manchester and I was doing the early show and some people came in late, right? And one of the four people went, "Oh, it's Ollie." I went, "Yeah." And she went, "I follow you on Instagram," right? Like as she was, it caused a bit of a commotion. So, just wait. Yeah. So she went, "I follow you on Instagram." This is all happening quite quickly, right? She went, "I follow you on Instagram." I went, "Oh, brilliant. Do I follow you back?" And she went, "No." I went, "Yeah, only follow back the fit ones." Mm-hmm. Right? But saying that like straight away, and I went, so then I just continued, "It must be a munter." Cut, right?
Nick, your gag.
Yeah, he is.
What's your gag?
What's my gag?
Don't you say, don't you have a thing about following
people?
Oh,
yeah, I do it at the end of my thing. That is my gag.
What's your gag?
You've stolen my essence once a fucking
What's
game.
Your gag?
My fucking... I've told you about this. My gag is, like, follow me on Instagram. If I follow you back, it means you're fit.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is my gag. Well, it's not really... I'll be honest, though. I don't actually... Stuff like that, I don't actually consider that to be a joke. There's bits...
No, but it's an attitude. Yeah, and I was using
it to chip away at his fucking confidence.
I definitely think, like, one of the things which I've learned from Darius about comedy is... Darius can sell some of the more objectionable stuff he says, mm-hmm. partly because he does it with confidence, which is like, I know it's a very obvious thing to say, but what that, but the confidence is basically telling an audience, you're safe with me, mm-hmm. right? But then also Darius remembers that like his persona is still someone that can get away with this, that yeah. he reveals a bit. And so to the extent to which I've kind of copied Darius, which obviously I haven't.
My essence.
I have. Well, that's no, just, I mean, that is ludicrous.
Red Richardson, who you copied.
And that's also ludicrous. but what I've definitely turned up in my hosting and in my sets is if I think something's funny, I will say it and then worry about that later. But do it in a way that kind of says to the audience, I'm doing this because I think it's funny.
The amount of times I'll compa and I'll say something ridiculous and the audience will laugh and I still come off and feel, even though if the audience have laughed, I still come off and feel judged by the fucking acts who kind of go, you went too far.
But I think that's a Scotland thing.
Yeah.
Scotland, hopefully, so I haven't gigged enough recently here, but I definitely remember like this, the acts are super judgmental and they're even more woke and police it more. Whereas, which is stupid to me, it's like you're a comedian. Obviously, if we're doing anything, we're doing it to try and be anything I do on stage. The only reason I'm doing it is because I think, truly think it's funny. That's so the only reason I'm doing it.
I'll tell you this. This week, I had to throw a drunk woman out, like 65-year-old woman, who for the entire break was stood outside calling me the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Right. And she was just...
Why?
Because basically, I'd thrown her out. She was just too drunk. So I'd thrown her out. She was kicking the plants outside, kicking stuff over. So I just stood there with her and she's like, you Antichrist, you fucking cunt. You fucking Satanist fucking cunt. You Antichrist. And then split second later, she went, you fucking Antichrist cunt. Can I come in and charge my phone? Like, no.
Imagine if you were the Antichrist and you used your powers to evict hecklers.
Yeah, you're going...
If I'm the Antichrist, I'm encouraging you.
A judgment day. Jesus is going to be in front of you. He won't be. It's fine.
Yeah.
I had to kick people out of a show in Manchester.
Why?
Well, it was just a solo show. They're just so drunk. And it got so bad, I said, listen, you just can't keep talking. I said...
You did it at the attic.
Did I keep people out there?
Yeah.
I did, actually. Yeah, yeah. I've had enough of it. The reason I've had enough of it is I think we've got a duty to the other audience members who are bothered by it. And, okay, so we could talk about this, actually. You know, there's a big scandal in Australia with... I forgot the name of the... Arj Barker?
Oh, yeah.
Who had a mother and a baby problem.
So tell the story.
So the story is, he's doing a show at the presumably Melbourne Comedy Festival. I guess it was still going on then.
We don't need that detail, just the story.
Well, no, I think that is relevant because he wouldn't be in control of his front of house and stuff.
Okay.
Because basically, the tickets would have said over 16s only and front of house wouldn't have policed a baby going in. So I do think that's relevant. I think if he's like on tour doing his own show, he probably would have had a bit more control of it. Anyway, so, you know, people are rushed in and out of these shows. Front of house didn't really check there was a baby. The scandal became big because...
What is the story,
The story is a baby was crying during the first 10 minutes of his show.
Mm.
He addresses it and does what any of us would have done, which is, you know, try and roll with the punches. And eventually he says to her, would you mind taking the baby outside until it stops crying? The story then becomes he kicks out a breastfeeding mother, right? His defense is, and I believe this, like from the stage, there's no way I could have told, right? You know...
Told what?
Well, anyone that stood on the stage with stage lights will know that you just see silhouettes. You can't actually see.
He wouldn't have known what?
That she was breastfeeding at the time, right? That he wasn't kicking her out because she was breastfeeding. He kicked her out because...
But if she was breastfeeding, then the baby wouldn't be making any noise.
Well, that is a very good observation. Anyway, but this has started a whole thing, right? Because there are some people and then it got a bit ugly, apparently. Like, there were some members of the audience that were like, men that were chanting her to get out, and so that it was a kind of a little bit of like misogyny stuff going on as well. But I'm really sympathetic to what he said in a statement, which is comedy is like, audiences don't realize how much comedy is about timing and nuance and beats,
maintaining focus
100%. And like, and I so related to this on this Sunday, where these two people, they were just drunk, they weren't doing anything wrong, but every now and again I'd say something that she'd agree with. You know, like, she wasn't being mean. She was like, oh, I do that. Like, I was doing the stuff about waxing, right? And so she would have turned to him and said something. But just that little, small little beat prevents my rhythm, means the punchline's gone. Right?
A few weeks ago, like exactly the same. I walk out on stage and there's just two people in the audience. She's on a phone and his body is like 90 degrees towards the stage.
It's impossible.
And you just go, you know, straight away, you just go, this is not, you guys are not ready for this. You can't be here.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's so hard to explain to audiences because one of the issues that you have with this, right, is in the end, I these two got kicked out and there were two lads who I just kept saying, I really want you to, like, they, the first time they'd ever seen, first time they'd ever come to comedy, right? And they were being a bit like laddie.
And last, if it's your show.
Well, clearly. No, they were being a bit much at the start of the show too. Like, you know, so how do we heckle? Asking stuff like that. I mean, you don't really, you know. Also, I'm doing an Edinburgh preview. It's like, I'm obviously off notes. And one of them just went, you know how you can get into a preview by like slowly getting into it rather than just going, right, here's my first joke, right? So I did this thing. I was like, I'm going to get to my notes eventually, but obviously warming the crowd up. He was like, why don't you just get to your jokes already? I went, oh, you've been laughing for 10 minutes. You just don't get it. Anyway, point with people like this is, that they, you know, like as a device, I was like, we're going to get to the show soon, but obviously I'm warming them up and getting them laughing. But he was like, why haven't you just started? We're waiting for you to start. And I went, oh, I literally have started. We've been laughing for the last 10 minutes. And so there's so much
but what was
education.
This Art Barker show? Was he part? Was that a showcase?
Yeah, no, it was his solo show, and I'll get to it. But something which I think audiences, even smart audiences, don't appreciate is when we say, or you must have done corporates or private events where we're like, they can't be sat there. That's, you know, like you just have to be militant. People treat you as if this is a skill issue on your part, right? Like people suggest like, well, if only you were better at comedy, you wouldn't need to worry about this. Or, you know, if only you knew how to play the room, you wouldn't have to worry that that table's facing away. People mistake what they see as a skill issue for actually just like an unplayable issue. So
like
the
like trying to watch a film with your back to the film.
Well, yeah, precisely. And to use a better analogy, it's like trying to project a film without a projector plugged in. Like you haven't even got the apparatus. The analogy I gave...
It's not a better analogy.
Well, it's not a better analogy. No. The analogy I gave to the audience that night when I explained to this couple, I said, look, I know you think you're doing nothing wrong, but you're moaning to me now that I'm not carrying on with the show. Because she was like, just carry on with the show. She was being really... Just carry on. Just do more. And I went, right, you saying carry on...
This sounds like Ollie was really shit.
Well, do you know what? The only way I can prove that I wasn't shit was the audience that stayed all paid at the end. You know, it was pay what you want,
definitely,
right?
Definitely shit.
It actually was funny. But it was an awful show.
You know what it is? People don't respect solo shows.
They don't realize how hard it is.
As much as they respect, especially like a work in progress. That's why you've got all that beats. Regarding Arj Barker and the baby crying and stuff, I mean, the baby probably shouldn't have been in there. But I would have... Me, personally, I don't know. I would probably just fucking roll with it. I think you need...
It's
as a comedian,
very... Nah, it's listen, very easy to say
about,
that.
You're talking about, oh, I've got beats, I've got pauses, I've got this, I've got that, right? I get that, right? Obviously, we do have that. But I also think sometimes you need to come out of that and acknowledge, okay, I'm not going to... That's... Otherwise, you're reading a play.
Okay.
But so you
come
out of it maybe...
I agree with you. And this is something which I will try and say to other acts too. When acts are moaning about the room or like, why is the MC letting them get away with that? Or I'm just like, we play the hand we're dealt. Yep. You play the hand you're dealt. So, and I've started to, even with solo shows, go on more with the idea of like, whatever's happening in the room, that is the show. But don't forget, this wasn't a tour show. This wasn't an Edinburgh show. This was a work in progress. I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to get through.
You know what I say to comedians when they ask me some advice? Every now and then, foolish comedians ask me for advice on comedy. And what I say is this. Just be funny. That's it. The audience don't care.
Care. 100%. I agree. And on a tour show or in an Edinburgh show, I would just be funny. But don't forget, I'm going into this. The contract with the audience is you come in for free. You pay at the end if you like it. I've got to get through my material. I've got to practice this. It's a work in progress. I've only got...
But just be funny. You literally just said, look, you want to...
was funny. And listen, and the way that I dealt with them is I spun an analogy. I said, you're shouting carry on at me is the same as you turning up to a restaurant, literally raiding the fridge, throwing all the ingredients on the floor, shitting all over the pots and pans and saying to the chef, just cook, we're hungry. It's like you've made the environment that he's working in quite tricky, right?
All Ollie's analogies go back some way, somehow.
But that did get a laugh at least. Look. It was funny.
We've now done an hour and 20 almost. I think it's about time to wrap up this episode. I think it's been quite a good episode. Ollie got a bit bored trying to defend himself from a shitty preview, but that's what happens. So preview, he was shit.
It wasn't shit.
Terrible. Drizzling shit. If you two are out there and by chance listening to this pod, good job. You did a good job heckling. He's still
come and see, right, hey, now. Come and see my previews. I've got one in London in June, one in July, one in Bristol, one in Lisbon, one in Barcelona.
Have you booked me for these gigs? I want to do Lisbon and Barcelona. I told you to book them for me. I've got previews in Lisbon and Barcelona in May and July.
Have you got any previews booked in?
No.
You ought to get Top Secret booked in.
Listen, I've registered my shows now.
Oh, Brighton Fringe. If you're in Brighton, watch me in Brighton.
My shows for this, I've changed the name of Hate Alive. This year it's called The Haters Ball.
The 10th annual.
10th annual Haters Ball. That way it comes up one of the top shows.
That was my idea.
The thingy. Mm-hmm. And A to Z, Geek's Guide to Seduction. This year, basically, the titles are to get people in the room. Not going to do artistic. I don't know how he got people in for a show called Baby Reindeer. They would just ignore
that. That was a play.
Well, you know what I mean. Anyway.
My show's called Comedy for Toxic People. That gets people in.
Yeah, because it kind of says what it is. Hey, listen, thanks for listening to this episode, Rick.
Thank you for listening to this episode.
Anything to promote, Rick?
No, just Hoots this weekend.
Who's your headline actor? Hoots this weekend?
It is.
Well, this is coming. This is going out tomorrow. So, actually, if you happen to be in Edinburgh and you listen to this before tomorrow,
yeah, come,
night, Friday,
come to the show. Yeah.
Come to the show, say hello to Rick.
There's always a weekend coming. We're always on, so.
Yeah, but Ollie difference. Might not be here.
Yeah, but I mean, the chances are...
Hoops Comedy in Edinburgh, the fastest growing new comedy club in Edinburgh and Edinburgh Studio. Come to Hoops, support this comedy club. If you don't like it, call Rick the Antichrist. He enjoys that. Other than that, listen, highpoint.care, do not buy their product. They don't sponsor us anymore. They owe us money.
they owe you money. I mean, the reviews that you were getting and defending were
amazing.
We've
got bad reviews because of our High Point. One star. It's like, review highpoint.care on Trustpilot, not on Apple iTunes. Like, we can't get hold of them either. We've got a Patreon.
Sure, you
we're
need
gonna
to
try
calm
harder.
Down with the CBD gum.
Yeah, we're going to try harder on the Patreon. But if you want to go on the Patreon, like and subscribe. I'm going to redo the Patreon. Go there, like and subscribe, share this with a friend. Thanks for listening. I've been the Mad Lad of Jihad. Lick my balls. Bye. Wait
bum,
a minute.
Bum, bum, bum.
Wait, did I sing the bumhole song?
Yeah, I got a bumhole.
So what?
Yeah, I've got a bumhole.
That's hot.
Yeah, I got a bumhole.
So tight.
Yeah, I've got a bumhole.
That's right. Bye.
Bum, 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 bum.